in five states. One hot topic this election season is marijuana and whether it should be legal, like alcohol, for recreational use. This month, we're looking at key issues in that debate, and today, marijuana and the brain. From member station WBUR in Boston, Martha Biebinger reports.
An 8-point drop in IQ. That's the effect of using pot more than once a week on a small group of New Zealanders who started in their teens and were tested again at age 38. That study, released in 2012, rocked research on marijuana. Critics pounced because the study did not adjust for many things that affect IQ: home life, education, and family income. One of those critics, Nicholas Jackson, wondered what would happen if he compared twins.
Individuals that share the same genes, grew up in the same household, and where the difference between them is that one of the twins was using marijuana and the other twin was not.
Jackson, with the University of Southern California, compared IQ tests of twins aged 9 to 12 before either had smoked marijuana and then 7 to 10 years later, after one had started.
If marijuana was causing IQ decline, what we would expect to see is that the twin who goes on and uses marijuana should have IQ deficits relative to their abstaining twin. We don't find that.
IQ scores for both twins went up and down within just 2 points. And for the twin who smoked marijuana, there was no significant difference between daily and occasional use. So was the New Zealand finding wrong? The author did not comment for this story, but has said that the twin study of teenagers does not address the effects of decades-long heavy marijuana use. Whether it's the twins or the New Zealanders, marijuana seems to affect a particular kind of intelligence, like what you'd learn in school, says Mitch Earlywine with the University of Albany.
They haven't learned a whole lot of vocabulary words, or they never learned the capital of Maine because they were high at school that day. But when it comes to things that are more liquid intelligence, more fluid intelligence, more can you solve a problem right here in the moment, they're usually pretty good at those because it requires just intelligence in the moment, so to speak.
It's not clear how marijuana may keep Augusta from being filed next to Capital of Maine. Some studies that compare brain scans of teenagers who use marijuana and those who don't show thinner, less dense connections between lobes. Nora Volkoff, director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, says brains with less connectivity don't work as well as they should.
You could expect that that will decrease your capacity to memorize things and to learn them, which is necessary for you to actually further develop your cognitive abilities.
There's little proof that marijuana causes poor brain connections. Maybe kids who are already having trouble in school are more likely to try marijuana. Still, Volkoff is convinced marijuana is bad for the brains of adults who begin smoking in their youth.
Teenagers that smoke regularly marijuana are achieving much less both in their education as well as their profession as well as their economic earnings. Many studies have shown that.
But if you don't start young and don't use marijuana often, there's not much evidence of permanent harm to the brain. Even some experts in marijuana brain science say it might be okay to make pot legal with strong oversight. Dr. Kevin Hill is with Harvard Medical School.
I'm not sure how I would vote at this point. I want to see sensible marijuana policy that works, that gives people what they want while limiting risk.
If Massachusetts approves marijuana for recreational use, it would not be legal for anyone under age 21 when most but not all brain development takes place. For NPR News, I'm Martha Biebinger in Boston.
This story is part of a reporting partnership with NPR, WBUR, and Kaiser Health News.